The Holy Gospel for today is taken from the third chapter of the Gospel of Mark. The crowd came together again, so that Jesus and his disciples could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons he casts out demons." And Jesus called to him and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called to him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." This is the gospel of the Lord. So yesterday was a beautiful day. I thought it's a great day to take the canoe out on the lake. And so I told Isaiah, my son, I said, "Well, I'll go clean it up because we hadn't taken it out yet. And we can go out on the canoe and take a little canoe ride." So I flipped the canoe over. And I understand even better that line in that first reading where it says, where God says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman," because underneath that canoe was the longest garden snake I have ever seen. It was over 3 feet long, and I'm not exaggerating. It didn't even go completely straight. I just said, "You go your way and I'll go mine." And Pam will appreciate the big spider that I got out of there, too. Anyway, it's all clean now. So this morning we're going to flit around a little bit. If I go in one direction and you don't quite follow me, don't worry, because maybe we'll flit in another direction that speaks to you a little bit more. And we're flitting around between the readings today because they are fraught with F words. F words that, in the interest of keeping things honest and real, need to be named and talked about. Now, some of you might be fidgeting a little bit and saying, "What F words is she talking about?" Well, listen and you'll hear quite a few. So, our first reading, it's a four-letter word, the fall. We have Adam, Eve, the serpent, and the forbidden fruit. Now, before we talk about that, I have to just say that for years, for decades, for centuries, for millennia, for far too long, forever, this passage has been used to say some pretty foolish things about women. And that just needs to stop, because that's just not, I believe, how it's supposed to be. Far too many women have suffered from that foolishness. Because in this passage, we see that all people behave in ways, men and women, that do not bring life, but instead bring death. I mean, look what happens when God comes into the garden for a stroll with the people God created. Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, and they're hiding in fear. Adam's afraid, so what does he do when confronted by God? He blames Eve. It's her fault. Eve's afraid, so what does she do? She blames the serpent. It's his fault. Nice blame game going on there. We might say it's the great fault assault. I don't know. Okay, so maybe, just maybe, the fall has a lot less to do, the fall and original sin has a lot less to do with eating the forbidden fruit and wanting to be like God, and maybe has a little bit more to do with fear and blame. With blaming each other. With not taking responsibility for our own thoughts and actions. With fear and being afraid to be honest. Afraid to be honest with ourselves. Afraid to be honest with each other. Afraid to be honest with God, which is pretty foolish because God knows everything anyway. That we are afraid to be really real. So several F words here in this first reading. Forbidden fruit, fall, female, fault, foolishness, fear. Our second reading is a bit philosophical. And I know that's cheating a little bit because that's not an F word, but it sounds like one. In that reading, Paul talks about faith in the midst of frustration. Faith in God's promises. Faith in God's grace. Faith for the future because faith is eternal. Because faith is forever. Life on earth, Paul points out, is not. Life here is temporary. Paul's talking about all this because he's feeling bummed out. He was hoping that Christ would come while he was still alive. But Paul realizes that the fact is he's getting older. And he's trying to come to terms with the reality that maybe Christ won't come before he dies. Maybe he will actually die. And that this hope of Christ coming before his life has ended won't be fulfilled. In the face of death, in the face of this frustration, Paul turns to faith. Because faith gives him focus. Gives him perspective. He says, so we do not lose heart. Even though we might have questions, even though we might live with a lot of uncertainty, even though we have challenges and trials and frustration, even though we might even face death, we do not lose heart because God is faithful. And God is forever. A few more F words. Faith, frustration, future, fulfillment, faithful, forever. Now we fast forward to the gospel. We have Jesus' family coming to take him away. It's only the third chapter of Mark, and already they've heard the things that he's saying and doing, and they think he's crazy. People think he's a fool. And his family has come, basically seeking an intervention to take him home and protect him. They know that the accusations against Jesus are severe. The religious authorities are accusing him of being a fraud, saying he's not from God. He gets his power from the devil because he has an evil spirit. You know, evil is very subtle. It's not always obvious to us. And I think that hidden nature of evil makes it even more destructive. Because without even realizing it, it leads us to believe things that are not true. to believe that we are something that we are not. Now, this can play out in many different kinds of ways. First of all, like Adam and Eve, we can blame each other, blame others. You know, that great fault assault. We cannot take responsibility for ourselves, for our own choices, for our own thoughts, our own words, and our own deeds. It's not my fault. It's yours. Or we might find so much fault within ourselves, and then evil has a way of exploiting those vulnerable places within us, those places that are the most fragile, and leaves us believing that we are a failure and that we are somehow outside of God's favor. God could never love me. Or we can think of ourselves, more of ourselves than we really should, and judge others, leaving us to believe that God loves me a lot, but God doesn't love you. I am inside of God's favor, but you are not. Jesus confronts this evil. He faces it head on. And he declares who he is. And in that, he declares also who we are. That we are forgiven. That we are the loved and forgiven children of God. Jesus calls to all those around him, his mother, his brothers, to the religious authorities, to those who are accusing him, to the good and the evil. And he invites all of us to live as brothers and sisters. I love it because they're accusing him of being crazy, and yet here Jesus is embracing the crazy mass of humanity that we are. Mass and mess of humanity that we are, and he welcomes us into God's holy family. He says, whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. It's not always easy. It's not always easy to discern the will of God in our lives. Even though Jesus infuses us with the Holy Spirit, it's not always easy to discern. That's partly why we need each other. We need this holy family to remember who we are, to encourage each other, and to hold one another in love. Because the Holy Spirit can be pretty wild and disturbing and unfamiliar, most often challenging us to step out in faith, to step way outside our comfort zones into the real trenches of life, and to reach out in love farther than we think we can. The will of God is always love, radical love, for us to live with mercy, with compassion, with kindness, forgiveness, to seek reconciliation, to be a gracious sign of hope, to confront the brokenness in our world and in ourselves, to welcome other broken people into this family of God, to let go of the fear that binds us and holds us back, and be real, be very real. Fool, fraud, fault, fragile, favor, fear, unfamiliar, farther, infused, forgiven, family, faith, forever. Finally, today we are reminded that our life here on this earth is temporary. we're given an opportunity to pause and reflect upon that life. And know deep within our hearts and deep within our souls that the love of God is forever. We live in this love. We live out this love for real, forever. Amen.